take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, June 18th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us. Let me apologize for missing you all yesterday. I was having a very, very bad day. That's all, just a really bad day. It was the kind of day where I thought, you know, I better not get on the microphone today because I'm likely to say some things that might cost me some friendships, might cost me some jobs. I better just take a day off and cool out a little bit. But I've been thinking about it. I've been cooling out a little bit, and today I'm going to let it all hang out. That's because we've been discussing the Responsible Ohio Initiative. This is the 2015 initiative that's bankrolled $20 million and 550,000 signatures to legalize marijuana in the state of Ohio in 2015. And I have been going rounds on social media with drug policy organizations, major players in drug policy organizations, and just Ohioans who like marijuana, trying to convince them that they ought to vote to end their own criminality. I know it's weird. Who'd have thought that I'd have to talk to pot smokers and try to convince them to vote for legalization? But once again, just like Prop 19 in 2010, just like Initiative 502 in 2012, and now Responsible Ohio in 2015, I'm the one who has to suffer the slings and arrows and ad hominem attacks across the internet because I dare to stand against Kevin Sabet, against the DEA, against the drug czar's office, against the private prison industries, against the prison guards, against the rehab industries, against the cops, sheriffs, and state police who would all vote against Responsible Ohio. I can't believe pot smokers are going to join the cops and Kevin Sabet in voting against legalization. So we're going to do some extended ranting today in the second half hour of today's show, just discussing what exactly is legalization? Why the hell are we all here? Why have I been doing this for 3 years independently and 7 years before that in various reform organizations? Just what the hell is it we're fighting for? Because I know for myself, I wasn't fighting for the right of current pot dealers who were gouging consumers at $300 and $400 an ounce to continue to live their lavish lifestyles. That's not what I'm in this for. I'm in this to end the punishment and criminalization of cannabis consumers. I'm in this to save the lives of medical marijuana patients. Now, if we can set up some grow businesses and make some money, hey, that'd be icing on the cake. But that's not my main consideration here. And I'm afraid it's become the main consideration of not just too many activists, but too many of the policy organizations. So we're going to discuss this in depth in the last half hour of the show. Stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the show today, behind the headlines, Tommy Chong has cancer. Again. Interesting story there. I thought cannabis cured cancer. Also, in drug war data mining today, we're going to discuss drug testing in America and why it makes absolutely no sense. And like I said, at the end of the show, we'll have an in-depth discussion on marijuana legalization and the different ways it can be legalized. And in hour two, we'll take your calls at 844-207-2346. That's 84-420 Radio. I've got a off the warpath rant to do in hour two, where I'm going to get macro-aggressive against microaggressions. I might have to turn in my liberal card, folks. I don't know what the hell's happening out here on the left. Anyway, lots to talk about on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around. More coming up next, right after these breaks.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey, this is Big Daddy. I want you cats to join me at the Funky Roller Ring right here on 420 Radio. It's like the groove in Soul Town, smashed together with a greasy pork sandwich on the side, baby.
Two hot dogs and a strawberry soda.
Funky Roller Ring.
Four20 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 18th, 2015. An investigation is underway Tuesday in Trinidad and Tobago over allegations that marijuana was found 2 years ago in the home of the island nation's prime minister, Kamla Persad Bisesser, in 2013, according to a police press statement. Police issued its statement Tuesday just hours after a press conference held by Jack Warner, the former FIFA executive embroiled in a bribery and kickback scandal involving the soccer organization. Warner's press conference, during which he played secretly recorded conversations that implicated the country's former national security minister, forced police to launch its investigation. Laws in Trinidad and Tobago surrounding marijuana are very strict. A person found to have marijuana in his or her possession can be fined $25,000 to $50,000 and imprisoned for 5 to 10 years. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal doubled down on his commitment to sign two pieces of state legislation related to marijuana during a video interview with the Des Moines Register. Jindal backs legislation to establish a framework for access to medical marijuana in Louisiana. Technically, medical marijuana has been legal in the state for years, but there's never been rules written to regulate growing, prescribing, or dispensing it. The new law, should Jindal sign it, would set up those regulations. The governor also said he would approve a bill that reduces maximum sentences allowed for many types of marijuana offenders. As governor, Jindal said he has increased penalties for people who are violent offenders, sex crime perpetrators, and others, but is in favor of reducing penalties for people who commit nonviolent crimes. Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine has signed off on another amendment proposal that aims to bring pot to the Buckeye State. DeWine's office said Wednesday that it certified a petition for the proposed cannabis control amendment. The measure is backed by the Ohioans to End Prohibition group. Officials said the submission was certified as having both the necessary 1,000 valid signatures from registered Ohio voters and a fair and truthful summary of the proposed amendment. The process to get on the ballot isn't over yet, though. Now that the proposal has been certified, the Ohio Ballot Board must determine if the amendment contains a single issue or multiple issues. After that, petitioners must collect signatures for each issue from registered voters in 44 of Ohio's 88 counties, equal to 5% of the total vote cast in the country for the office of governor in the last election. Meanwhile, Responsible Ohio's legalization proposal has already gathered many more signatures than it needs to be placed on the ballot. Broward County, Florida police might mellow out when it comes to marijuana possession, handing out civil fines rather than cuffing someone carrying a joint. One Broward commissioner said he'll bring the idea to his colleagues Tuesday, hoping they'll agree that the state's second largest county should cut small-time pot possessors a break. Instead of harshing their buzz with an arrest, deputies or officers would fine them $100. The proposal follows the lead of Miami-Dade County, which is inching closer to reducing the penalty for a misdemeanor marijuana possession. Under the proposal there, possessing 20 grams or less would be a civil infraction rather than a criminal charge. The penalty would be a $100 fine. If 5 of the 9 county commissioners agree Tuesday, a law will be drafted for a vote after the board's summer recess. The law would apply to the entire county, but the decision to use it would be up to the individual deputy or officer. The same activists who in 2012 successfully legalized the cultivation, sale, and use of recreational marijuana in Colorado are starting their next big initiative, the push for regulated public pot consumption in the state's largest city. The activists' expansive proposal, which will be discussed with a Denver assistant city attorney, aims to redefine public places to create an environment for the public consumption of cannabis. Instead of limiting marijuana use to cannabis clubs that would operate separately from bars serving alcohol, a model championed by some and already in place in cities such as Toronto, Canada, this new proposal would allow existing bars, clubs, and venues to dedicate 21 and older spaces to indoor vaporizing and outdoor, out-of-public-sight smoking. An open-to-the-public hearing for the proposed ordinance took place at 4:15 Wednesday at the City and County Building with Assistant City Attorney David Broadwell, the legalization activists, and a few others. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 18th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Four20 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where Us Weekly is reporting that Tommy Chong has cancer once again. The 77-year-old comedian told Us Weekly that he is battling rectal cancer after beating a bout of prostate cancer in 2012. He's also taken to Twitter to explain that, quote, "I have good news and bad news. First, the bad news. The cancer came back and it's a real pain in the butt. The good news is I now have to use more marijuana to treat the cancer." Now, this is something that I just wanted to bring this up, and you know, good luck to Tommy Chong. We wish him the best of health. And he reported the previous cancer. I reported on his previous cancer, the prostate cancer, which he claimed occurred in him, when he was sent to prison and was unable to use cannabis while he was in prison. He said that's probably what led to it coming back. And he also claims that his use of cannabis oils and such, were part of his treatment that helped the prostate cancer subside. And
I agree to an extent that the use of cannabis can be helpful in this situation. But I think it's also an important moment for us to note that cannabis by itself does not cure cancer. I hear it, you know, this is the, one of the bumper sticker taglines that we have in our movement, cannabis cures cancer. And I always reply to that with, if cannabis cured cancer, Michelle Rainey would still be alive. There are so many people like Tommy Chong who have used cannabis for decades who still end up getting cancer. So if cannabis were this miraculous cure-all that was going to cure all cancers and prevent them from occurring, why would Tommy Chong end up getting it twice? Now, as somebody in my Twitter feed explained to me, well, you know, cannabis doesn't cure aging. The guy's 77 years old. And that's part of the problem we have here is people get addicted in the marijuana movement to some of this magical thinking about cannabis. The miracle, magical plant that's going to heal the planet and heal all the cancers and heal everything. And while indeed cannabis is a wonderful, amazing plant with lots and lots of industrial uses and all sorts of medical uses, it is not a miracle cure-all. And when we're talking about something like cancer is a very distinct and varied process of diseases. It's not just like one virus causes cancer and then you can come up with a vaccine for it. There's lots of different types of cancer. There's lots of different stages of cancer. And there's a lot of different causes for cancer. Now, I do believe that cannabis and cannabinoid therapies will be exciting and new and very valuable treatments for cancer. I believe that a lot of cancers, especially melanomas, could be successfully treated with cancer with cannabis to the extent that those cancers would dissipate. But to get into this magical thinking that all cannabis cures cancer and to keep saying cannabis cures cancer plants into the mind of impressionable young people that if they're pot smokers, they don't have to worry about cancer. And clearly, Tommy Chong is one of the biggest pot smokers out there and still got cancer. So yes, let's continue to fight for the study of cannabinoids, the study of THC. Let's figure out how THC triggers the apoptosis in cancer cells. Let's work on finding ways to make those treatments better. Let's try to understand how cannabinoids affect the life cycle of cancer cells. Yes, let's do all that. Let's study all that. But let's do so with a clear mind. Let's do so recognizing the reality of the situation, that cancer is a very complex situation with no magic bullet solutions. I wish Tommy Chong all the best, and I do hope that he's able to beat this cancer fight. But let's not continue presenting this magical thinking that's going to lead kids, going to lead young people into thinking that cannabis is some magical curative, that it's going to cure everything, and that they need to ignore any other sorts of medical treatments out there. Now, I'm not here to defend the cancer treatment industry. I think there's a lot of shenanigans going on there in that industry. I think there's a lot of self-serving. I think there's a lot of looking past possible solutions and looking towards solutions that lead to profit for the companies that are putting them together. I think there's a lot in cancer awareness and cancer advocacy organizations like Comb and Race for the Cure that are big wastes of money, that are getting people to sign on to everything but cannabis. So it's not as if I'm here to defend the mainstream medical community on this, because they've been negligent too in ignoring the promises of cannabis. And maybe some of that has to do with them dismissing the wild-eyed pie-in-the-sky dreamers who say cannabis cures cancer. Maybe part of the stigma of them wanting to research cannabis for any of its cancer-curing potentials has been created by the people who have this pie-in-the-sky dreamy attitude with little bumper sticker slogans. We need to open up cannabis to its full scientific and medical potential. And that can't happen under just medical marijuana. And that can't happen just under statewide legalization. This has to happen at a federal level. The federal government is going to have to release the Schedule I designation of cannabis, either move it to a lower designation or Best case scenario, take it off the Controlled Substances Act altogether. Let scientists from all around the country and universities all around the world work on this and figure out how cannabis can cure cancer.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
All right, folks, it's 420 in Denver, Colorado. I figured I already pissed off all the growers with my support of Responsible Ohio. I might as well piss off the cannabis cures cancer people while I'm at it, huh? But you know what? If I wasn't here pissing off people, who would be, huh? Nobody. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have some drug war data mining for you on why drug testing makes no sense.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring. I like it like that.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. In the Data Mine today, we take a look at a quote from Lewis Maltby. He's the president of the National Work Rights Institute, who said, quote, "Drug testing is a waste of money, and the National Academy of Sciences has said the exact same thing. Drug testing was sold with the promise of increasing productivity and improving safety, and it didn't do either one," end quote. Now, this drug testing has been going on in America for decades now. It reached a peak in 1996 with 81% of companies that were drug testing. This is according to the American Management Association. That's right, 4 out of 5 companies in the mid-1990s were drug testing. That number has gone down to just 62% by 2004. And statistics in the federal government show 40% of employers were testing employees by 2007. So it was 4 out of 5 in 1996. By the middle of the 2000s, it went down to 3 out of 5. And by 2007, it was down to 2 out of 5. And part of the reason why is these companies are starting to find out that it costs them a whole lot of money to find one single positive. And finding that positive doesn't seem to improve their bottom line in any way whatsoever. Now, we are talking, of course, about private employers in this, and we're including employers that are required to do drug tests under federal law. Some of those are like in the transportation industry for airplanes and trains and buses and such. So when we look at that 40% of employers that are still drug testing, that's including the ones that have to, right? So there's a lot of them that don't have to that are still managing to do it. And the problem with this is that employers don't really understand marijuana. See, they understand alcohol, and they understand that some of their employees drink. Now, they understand if their employees drink on the job or show up drunk, that they're going to get fired. But by and large, most employees don't do that. Most employees drink after work or drink on the weekends. And they know that it's not a major problem. And then even for those who have an addictive personality and end up becoming alcoholic, that can be treated. But they don't understand marijuana. They don't understand it. And the stigmatization that has happened over marijuana and drugs in general boils down to the idea that you either use drugs or you either don't use drugs or you're a drug abuser. There's no middle ground in their understanding. They don't understand, like the alcohol drinker, most of us pot smokers smoke after work or smoke on the weekends. We don't smoke at work and we don't come to work high. They can't conceive of that because you either don't do drugs or you're a drug abuser. And it's also confused by these drug testing companies themselves. They'll run these scams on these employers to scare the hell out of them, to make them think that if there's some safety issue or there's some lawsuit issue or some productivity issue they'd be solving if they drug tested for marijuana. And they'll put forth all sorts of statistics saying how much less productive marijuana consumers are, or less income marijuana consumers make. Studies that basically show you that, yeah, if you discriminate against pot smokers for a lot of the good jobs, guess what? They end up having lower incomes and producing less because they're just not able to get the good jobs. One great example of this was something called the Firestone Study. Now, drug testing companies promoted the Firestone Study to numerous employers throughout the 90s, saying that, oh, the Firestone Study shows that marijuana users are dangerous. The Firestone Study shows that marijuana users are a risk in the workplace. The Firestone Study says that marijuana workers have more absenteeism and claim more sick days and so forth. Well, guess what, folks? The Firestone Study doesn't exist. It was made up. The researchers went looking for the Firestone Study, and they found lots of publications that referenced the Firestone Study and referenced another story that referenced the Firestone Study, but there was no study. What was the Firestone Study was actually probably based on a speech that somebody gave to Firestone executives, and the speech itself wasn't based on any scientific analysis whatsoever. And it got repeated and repeated and became kind of a legendary fact in the anti-drug and in the drug testing worlds, this alleged Firestone Study that never existed. And furthermore, we're talking about costs for these people. There was a report from the 1999 from the ACLU on drug testing that found that 38 federal government agencies in just 1 year, and this is 99, spent $11.7 million on drug testing. For the aviation industry, it was $14 million. Texas Instruments spent $1 million to test 10,000 workers at a cost of about $100 per employee. And you find similar cost-benefit analyses when you start looking at the results of drug testing that show that about 5% of the tests, less than 5%, turn up positive for any drug whatsoever. And the costs that it takes to root out that 1 in 20 workers are just more expensive than anything they'd save, and also more expensive when you have to retrain somebody for the job you just fired a good employee who was just a pot smoker.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Like I mentioned, we are going to be going full stop into what is marijuana legalization. And boy, I just finished typing up a tweet. Dan Riffle, who works for the Marijuana Policy Project, says that Marijuana Policy Project is neutral on Responsible Ohio. But as an Ohioan, he is personally against Responsible Ohio. So we've got one person in the big drug reform organizations who has now come out in favor of maintaining marijuana prohibition just a little longer. Just a little longer. In fact, the tweet from Dan Riffle actually says, "I don't think the problem in Ohio is so pressing or awful that we must swallow this, and it can't wait 2 to 6 years." 2 to 6 years. There are 19,000 marijuana arrests in Ohio every year. Dan Riffle from Marijuana Policy Project is apparently okay with another 19,000 arrests every year for the next 2 to 6 years. Now, some people will complain about that and say, "Well, Russ, marijuana's decrim in Ohio." In fact, Dan Riffle brought that up. He said that marijuana is decriminalized in Ohio. I got trying to find it here. So he says users aren't getting arrested there now since the paraphernalia fix a couple years ago. So there used to be a thing. So Ohio is decrim up to 100 grams. That's 3.5 ounces. But paraphernalia used to be still illegal, right? So yeah, you could have the 100 grams, but the bag you were carrying it in was paraphernalia, and you could get busted for that. Or the pipe you had with it was paraphernalia, you could get busted for that. They fixed that now. So paraphernalia is decrim as well. So he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. If you've got a bag of weed and a pipe on you, and it's less than 3.5 ounces, it is decriminalized in the state of Ohio. You're not going to get arrested. You're just going to get a ticket for $150. Let's hope you can afford a $150 ticket. And you're going to get your license suspended. Let's hope you don't need your car to go to work for the next 6 months or anything. But Dan's cool with that. Dan says we can put up with that, cannabis consumers. You and me, we can put up with getting $150 tickets and losing our driver's licenses because it's really not that big a deal. Really not that big a deal to lose your driver's license or have to pay a $150 ticket. And furthermore, Let's dig deep into what exactly this decriminalization in Ohio actually is. Because according to the website Ohio Expungement Law, in Ohio, if you have a conviction for possession of marijuana or a conviction for drug abuse, it's very important to obtain an expungement and sealing of your criminal record. Although these charges may be minor misdemeanors or misdemeanor charges in Ohio, many people underestimate the long-term consequences of these charges. Having a conviction for possession of marijuana or drug abuse in Ohio creates a permanent criminal record that is readily available through public records. But that's okay. We can put up with our having a permanent criminal record for another 2 to 6 years, right? As a result, anyone with an internet connection can find the record. Having a record for drug abuse for possession of marijuana will raise red flags on background checks, which can prevent you from getting a job, renting an apartment, obtaining financing for a house, receiving public benefits, obtaining student loans, and even owning a firearm. So there you go. We can put up with that for another 2 to 6 years. That's no big deal, right? Why not just be criminals for another 2 to 6 years until true legalization can come through? Now, MPP, Dan Riffle tells me, is neutral on this because MPP is neutral on all ballot measures that they don't write. Well, thanks for standing up for us. If MPP can't get the glory, then they're not going to help anybody else free us either. That's nice to know. Now, I've reached out to Normal on this. Normal said that they don't comment or are neutral on ballot measures until they make the ballot. And that's true. That has always been Normal's stance, even back when I worked for Normal. But really, this is just a stalling tactic. We all know Responsible Ohio is going to make the ballot. It's already gathered 550,000 of the 305,000 signatures it needs. It's going to be on the ballot. So this is just a stall tactic. And Dan has criticized me, actually, back in Twitter. So I said, I can't believe I have to fight pot smokers to convince them to vote to end their own criminality. And if MPP is neutral on legalization plans they don't author, and you support keeping me punished in Ohio until dealers can profit. Dan responds with, sure, if you want to cut out all the nuance and critical thought out of what we both know is a complicated question, go with that. Well, Dan, there's no nuance on the ballot. There's no nuance when the cop catches me with weed. There are two boxes on the ballot. Stop punishing pot smokers or keep punishing pot smokers. You can mark either one of those, but those are your choices. And when the cop catches me in Ohio with some weed, there's not a whole lot of nuance. I'm either going to get a ticket for $150, I'm going to get my driver's license suspended for 6 months, and I'm going to have a permanent criminal record I got to spend more money to try to expunge. I'm going to lose opportunities at housing and jobs and all that. No nuance there either. That's either going to happen to 19,000 or more people, or however many it is, or it's not. This is simple. This is very simple. I made a chart earlier today. I put it on my Facebook page to kind of list out what all the legalizations have proposed thus far. And you know what? Responsible Ohio matches up with all what people are considering great legalization in every respect, except if you want to be a grower who makes profit. Is that really what we can put up with, Dan? We can really put up with sacrificing however many hundreds or thousands of people will be busted, given tickets, or more. We can put up with that until dealers can get rich. Is that the way it works? We've got to deny people their freedom. We've got to keep criminalizing people, thousands of them, keep them criminals until we find something that lets pot growers get rich. I'm through the looking glass here, people. I can't believe I'm having to fight High Times, Normal, MPP, and Drug Policy Alliance to stand up for ending my criminality. I can't believe this. And this red herring argument that gets thrown at me, well, Responsible Ohio doesn't legalize anything that isn't already decriminalized. It's such a red herring argument. When you look at Denver, you look at Colorado, look at the numbers from Colorado. Their pot prosecutions dropped from over 800 a month to under 100 a month. And that's not just the less than an ounce that got legal. That's all pot prosecutions. Pot prosecutions for huge-ass grows dropped. Pot prosecutions for trafficking marijuana dropped. Pot prosecutions for growing marijuana, selling marijuana. They all dropped across the board. Not just Colorado, also Washington. Why? Because when you legalize marijuana, not decrim, decrim means it's still contraband. When you legalize marijuana, it's no longer probable cause. Drug dogs have to be retired. The same drug dog who might find some kid with less than 100 grams of marijuana might be the same drug dog that finds the guy with 12 pounds in his trunk. So yeah, you want to talk about nuance and critical thought? Let me give you some nuance, Dan. Some of the nuance here, and you as a prosecutor know it, is that without the probable cause of marijuana contraband, many marijuana crimes go by the wayside because they can't be successfully prosecuted. You can't use that drug dog sniff anymore. You can't use the cop's excuse of, I smell weed. Man, it's blowing my mind. Now, Dan continues by saying, Responsible Ohio does a lot more than stop punishing pot smokers. If that's all it did, I'd be an enthusiastic yes. Yeah, it does do more than stop punishing pot smokers. It allows people to own their own pot shops and sell marijuana. It allows people to own their own pot processing plants and process marijuana. The only thing responsible Ohio does not allow is for a grower to make a business out of it. That's it. Other than that, it's like every other legalization, and in fact, better than some of the existing legalizations. It's far better than Washington, D.C.'s. There's no commerce whatsoever. It's better than Washington State's. It doesn't have a per se DUID, and it allows for home grow. Of course, you know, MPP didn't write Washington State's law, so they're neutral on that. But also, and something that I think gets left out of this every time it's debated, is that Responsible Ohio creates a medical marijuana program. It creates the first medical marijuana program since Michigan in 2008 that actually allows patients to grow their own medicine. Unlike the last 3, 4, 5, 6 MPP medical marijuana proposals that, well, what do they do? Oh yeah, they restrict the marijuana growing to a handful of licensees that have to pay six-figure sums. Why the fuck is it not an oligarchic monopolistic cartel when it's scamming money off of patients in New York or Minnesota or Delaware or Illinois or Massachusetts? Why is it not an oligarchy that must be opposed at all costs when it's MPP's medical marijuana initiative, but when it would free me, a healthy person, it's got to be perfect? Why is that? And I'd rather do that and risk arrest getting them marijuana than vote for this bullshit initiative we both know isn't about patients, he replies. Right now, there are no medical marijuana laws in Ohio. None. Patients get arrested, convicted, and imprisoned, just like they do in any other red state. And he'd rather them, those sick and disabled people, continue to suffer, continue to face arrest, prosecution, imprisonment, and possibly death, than to allow legalization to happen that would protect all of them, that would give them dispensaries to shop at, would give them the ability to grow their own medicine. This is just, I can't believe where I'm at in this movement. It's just unbelievable. I have to fight with the orgs that are supposedly on my side. Oh my God. Ohio Dab says, last ticket I received about 10 months ago was a simple $150 fine. Let's see, was your driver's license suspended? Let's find out. All right, folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this rant. Once again, I'll try to convince people that legalizing marijuana is better than prohibition. Can't believe I have to do this.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs. That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, let's get into this and think about what exactly is legalization. Because, you know, we've been just talking about this Responsible Ohio thing. And, you know, in the past, we've talked about all the other legalization initiatives that have come forth. And the question I would like to ask is, what for you exactly is legalization? Because it seems to me that for a lot of the people that are opposed to Responsible Ohio, legalization is not legalization until current illegal pot growers can keep making money. Right. And maybe this suffers from my particular perspective on this, but I want to discuss, you know, in broader terms, what is legalization? Now, in 2014, the RAND Corporation produced a report for the state of Vermont. The report detailed 12 different regulatory schemes for marijuana. And for the moment, let's forget about medical marijuana. We're talking about, you know, how would you legalize or how would you regulate marijuana for the general public? And what they came up with is kind of like a number line or a spectrum, if you will, of the possible systems that could be implemented for cannabis. It starts on one end with the most repressive regime and ends with the most free regime when it comes to marijuana. There's 12 steps, kind of like, you know, kicking alcohol, right? There's 12 possible levels here, right? The first level, level number one, is prohibition, like what we got now. Weed's illegal to possess, it's illegal to grow, it's illegal to sell. You get arrested and imprisoned for any of those activities. And that's what we've got in 27 U.S. states. Full-on prohibition. Level two would be decriminalization. Now, decriminalization exists in 19 states. That's where weed's still illegal to possess. Don't forget, folks, when we talk about decrim, it is still illegal. And that means drug dogs can sniff for it. That means it's probable cause for searches. That's all of that stuff. It's still illegal. But if you're caught with a little amount, you don't get an arrest. And you don't get a criminal record. Instead, you get a ticket, a fine, and a probable driver's license suspension. Yeah, let's hope you can afford the ticket and the fine and the suspension, right? I don't know if you saw John Oliver's piece on bail and how people that even get the smallest little fines who can't pay those fines end up going to jail, and then they end up staying in jail because they can't afford the bail and all that. So that's decrim, right? Like Ohio, like 19 states. And in a decrim state, growing and selling are still crimes. Level three is the grow and give system. This is where weed's legal to possess and grow and share for personal use, but selling it is a crime. That's like Washington, D.C., right? They have grow and give. So I wonder if the people against Responsible Ohio also think Washington, D.C. ought to go back to criminalization, since, what, my goodness, there's nobody's allowed to grow. Number four is collective gardens. This is where weed is legal to possess and grow personally, but Oh, and the personal collectives can combine for growing and sharing among their members, but there's no retail commerce. This is what they got in Spain. Collective gardens, collectives that you belong to. Would that be legalization? Number five, the coffee house model. Weed is legal to possess and you can buy it in limited amounts in retail stores, but growing is technically illegal. That would be the Netherlands, the Dutch coffee house model. Would that be legalization for you? Number six, government control. Weed is legal to possess and to buy, but only the government can produce and sell it. That would be the Uruguayan model. Number seven, public authority. Weed's legal to possess and buy, and the government strictly controls cultivation run under a few licensees. This would be like a state-run liquor store model or the responsible Ohio model. Weed's legal to possess and buy, government controls cultivation under a few licensees. Number eight would be the nonprofit model, where weed is legal to possess and buy, and you can grow and sell it as a nonprofit entity. That's supposedly what California has with medical marijuana. The ninth level would be for-benefit corporations. Weed is legal to possess and buy, and you can set up a private for-benefit corporation to grow and sell it. A for-benefit corporation, they exist in a few states like Vermont. They're like nonprofits. They're supposed to serve the public good, but they can make a limited profit. Then the number 10 level, limited for-profits. Weed is legal to possess and buy, and you can set up a for-profit private corporation to grow and sell it, but the licenses are limited and highly regulated by the government, like most East Coast medical marijuana states. Number 11 is the commercial model. Weed is legal to possess and buy, and you can set up a for-profit corporation to grow and sell it, like Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and Colorado. And number 12 goes even beyond the commercial legalization, deregulation. No laws on weed whatsoever. Like North Korea. Did you know that? Did you know North Korea weed? There's no law against marijuana. There's no law to regulate growing it, selling it, anything. Yeah, North Korea. Or in East Texas, a state representative proposed that this year. He said, marijuana is not a mistake that God made that the government needs to clean up. So what we've got going on in responsible Ohio, I mean, for me, look, if I'm living in a state with a number one, like if I'm in prohibition state or a number two, I'm in a decrim state, I'll support anything that moves my state up to a three or better. So I support all the spectrum of legalization. Responsible Ohio looks like I said, like about a number seven. And it seems to me that the responsible Ohio haters will reject anything lower than an 11. So I'm supporting 10 different forms of legalization. They support two. I'm assuming they'd support the number 12 level as well, you know, complete deregulation. But then again, I'm just a consumer. I frame my view of legalization based on the facts that 7 out of 8 arrests for marijuana are consumers, not growers, and that anything that frees the consumers makes catching the growers more difficult. It wasn't just the less than an ounce arrests for prosecutions that declined following Washington and Colorado's legalizations. It was all marijuana arrests that declined. Because many of the probable cause tools that cops use to bust people for any marijuana crime disappeared. The drug dog can't smell the difference between an ounce and 20 pounds in your trunk. And when we legalize the ounce, the drug dog gets retired. There is no more smelling the 20 pounds in your trunk. When home marijuana cultivation is legalized, the sight of stems, seeds, you going to the grow store, buying sodium lights, your electric bill, a tip from a neighbor, none of that's probable cause anymore. When marijuana growing is legal, even just 4 plants in your home, and by the way, the Responsible Ohio plan says 4 mature plants, leaves some question as to would they even care how many immature plants you have. That's not settled yet. But the tools cops use to bust people for the amounts that are greater than what's being legalized, many of those tools are removed from their toolkit. That's why Colorado went from over 800 prosecutions a month to under 100 prosecutions a month. That's why Washington went from over 5,000 misdemeanor marijuana prosecutions a month to 150, or a year to 150 in a year. I'm stunned that I have to argue for people to vote for legalization. Because for me, it's pretty simple. I would never join Kevin Sabet, the DEA, the drug czar, the Ohio cops, the Ohio prison guards, and the Ohio rehab centers in voting to keep 19,000 marijuana arrests happening in Ohio next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. And some of these people come back at me with, well, there's other groups in Ohio. There's Legalize Ohio, those Ohioans to End Prohibition. There's the Ohio Rights Group. There's Responsible Ohioans for Cannabis. There's four other groups. So somehow I'm supposed to believe that these four other groups, first of all, keep in mind with four groups, that's dividing by four the amount of resources, volunteers, effort, attention, media cycle that any one of them can get. Let's put that aside for a second. I'm somehow supposed to believe that these other four who've never gotten better than one third of the signatures they need to get on the ballot. And remember, one third means probably one fifth once you know, do all the validation of the signatures. I'm supposed to believe that these four groups that have never made any headway for the past couple decades are somehow going to break through in 2016 after legalization fails in 2015. I'm supposed to believe that. I'm supposed to believe in 2016, when there's a presidential election going on, that's going to bring out a ton of voters, especially those that might not in Ohio, that know that they're a swing state and know that whether or not a Republican gets elected is based on whether they win Ohio. It's going to drive Republicans to the polls in 2016 who typically don't support marijuana legalization and are probably less likely to support a legalization that's more liberal than the one that's on the 2015 ballot. I'm supposed to believe that's going to happen. And in the meantime, 19,000 people get arrested. And in the meantime, patients with cancer and AIDS and multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis and patients on hospice can just wait till November 2016. And of course, the time after that, it's going to take to get the program running and get the medicine in their hands. Because those people are expendable. Those cannabis consumers, those marijuana patients, all expendable. If it means that dealers who are charging $400 an ounce now can continue to have a business. Maybe I just don't have much compassion for the growers. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's it. I always get these stories of reverence for the growers because they took the risk to bring the marijuana to us. You know, I'd have that reverence for the growers if they brought the marijuana to us at a reasonable price. But no, they took something that they could grow for 12 to 20 bucks an ounce and sold it to us for $300 to $400 an ounce. And the only way they could maintain that ridiculously high price is by the threat of cops busting us consumers. So maybe I don't have enough sympathy for the growers, who by and large seem to be the ones and the people who support the growers. And maybe this is the problem with the marijuana orgs. Maybe they have to weigh, well, gee, we've got all these consumers that we stand for, but the growers, boy, they send us a lot more money. Because, you know, they make money growing illegally under prohibition profits. So maybe the MPPs, the normals, the drug policy alliances, just have a conflict of monetary interest here. I know probably High Times does, right? High Times is a growers magazine. They can't come out for Responsible Ohio because then all their growers would drop their subscriptions, wouldn't they? They'd be all pissed off that you weren't standing up for the growers to establish their little business. Sorry, I can't accept establishing the business on the backs of the arrests of mostly black and brown people. That's all the time I got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. We'll take your calls at 84420 Radio, and we'll talk a little bit about microaggressions. I'm going to get macro aggressive here. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Hey, 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 hey.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.